VanWe Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWe Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWe.
And I'm Adam VanWe.
And we are here, as always, being chipper and lively and alive and in person, so that you can help us by doing your part by calling in. Pick up the phone, dial 904-222-8255. We'll talk about any topic you care to talk about. We prefer to have some financial slant on it, but maybe you just want an opinion on something. We've got them, trust me.
Or if you just want to complain about your account balance this week.
Could do that, too. And they're probably going to do that no matter whether or not they call in.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, all good things must have a little bump in the road, and that bump came Thursday this week, but it wasn't that serious. It wasn't very much fun.
No.
But it wasn't that serious.
Also, it wasn't unexpected.
No. When things get too good to be true...
Yeah.
Then you got to look back at what you just said and say, oh, this is too good to be true, and therefore it can't last. Or as Herbert Stein said, anything that is unsustainable will stop.
That's very deep.
Some people have made an art form out of saying a lot by saying a little. And I can see where that one really would have had an impact back in his day. But anyway... we are here, as always, to bring you some good, solid information about what's going on out there. We'll cover some topics that are on people's minds. And most of all, we would like to answer your questions if you got them. So line them up and call in. The rules of the show have never varied in 5 years plus. As the caller comes in, the caller goes to the head of the line. You have precedence over us at every minute of every day, except one or two when I'm talking. Then you have to wait. Adam's shaking his head. All right. Well, I've put this off long enough. Tell us about the market.
So I got the theory right. I just got the timing wrong. What I said a couple weeks ago is that once we hit the 200-day moving average on the S&P, that we would see a little bit of turbulence, but we didn't, miraculously. It just kept going up and kept going up. Well, a couple weeks later... here it is. And
the existence of an exception does not the rule disprove.
Yeah. So, you know, they say don't time the market, and that's exactly why.
Yep.
The Thursday came, the market plunged back to earth, and we actually bounced right off of the 200-day moving average, which was pretty amazing. Friday was a great day.
Now you know how those computers are programmed.
Yeah, exactly. It was like clockwork. If you were a chartist, you were probably... waiting for that moment to start buying. So
yeah, the only thing more dangerous than a chartist is a chartist with a supercomputer.
Yeah, exactly. It was a ugly week. Pretty interesting though, despite the Dow dropping 5.6%, the S&P down 4.8%, and the Nasdaq down 2.3%. Month to date, the S&P is off 0.1%. And the Dow is still positive by 0.9, and the Nasdaq is up 1%. So that's crazy stat considering how bad this week was.
Yeah, look at the quarter.
I know. The quarter is off the charts. I mean, the Nasdaq's still up about 25%.
Yeah.
So that is, it's been nothing short of basically a V-shaped recovery, not quite as steep on the way up as it was on the way down. But
it never is.
No, it never is. It takes the... what is that? The elevator down and the escalator
the stairs up.
Yeah. So it was anyway, enough about this week in the U.S.
Along with that,
international markets weren't much better either. We saw a lot of sell-offs from overbought territory. Most of them came back into neutral along with the U.S. market, but there's still some that remain overbought even with the sell-off. European markets lost between 5 and 7% in general. And they still are in overbought territory. That's how tells you how extended they got in the last few weeks of trading. There was a lot of sector rotation and profit taking as well this week. Some of the names that have run up the most since the market bottom saw the most selling, and some of the more defensive names that people held during COVID, think of like big tech stocks, they saw the most buying. So there was kind of a reversal of the last couple of weeks. Stocks in the banking and energy sectors were particularly hard hit after big run-ups in the last few weeks. Some of the energy numbers are just incredible. Chesapeake Energy was up in one day 180%, I think.
And the next day
was down over 40%.
Because there was a rumor that they might have to file bankruptcy the very next day.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, 180% in a day. That doesn't make sense.
And there's no way on God's green earth that anybody will ever explain that to me, to my satisfaction.
Just a whole lot of buying and buying the rumor and selling the facts. Yeah,
but which rumor?
Like that. I don't know.
The very next day, they're talking bankruptcy?
Yeah.
People, you're nuts.
So despite what happened in the market, states continue to push forward with reopening, and we're seeing signs of that in the economy. Gasoline demand has now risen for 8 out of the last 9 weeks and has recovered more than half of its COVID-related drop, which is great news. However, there's always an asterisk or a but when you talk about these things right now. Despite that, demand hasn't been this low since 2001.
No, but so, you're also seeing the other side of the equation. The production line is still going down, down, down.
Right.
And they will intersect, and that will cause the production lines to open up again and the prices to rise.
Yeah, right now inventories are still growing. Oil actually traded above $40 a barrel briefly and then dropped back to the $35 range, which is probably more appropriate at this point.
I agree.
The U.S. is cutting production at the fastest pace on record. That's pretty amazing. The fastest three-month decrease in U.S. production just
happened.
They
will overshoot, as they always do.
No doubt.
And that is when you want to make sure you have a little exposure.
Yeah, without demand going back to where levels were in January, where we still were in a global oversupply situation, we're going to have to continue to cut. There's just no other way about it. You can't make money at these levels. So just look for that to continue until you start seeing inventories go down.
Unfortunately, the process industry takes a while to shut down and it takes a while to open up.
Yeah,
you can't just fire up the line and say, oh, build some more inventory.
Right.
Doesn't work that way.
Nope. Another indicator that that was positive this week was the number of people passing through TSA security checkpoints. On Thursday, it actually went over 500,000 people. That was the first time that it happened since March. Oh. Of course, June 11th of last year, the same day last year, 2.7 million people went through TSA checkpoints. So we're still way, way, way off of our normal levels or high levels that we were seeing in 2019.
I have a comment to make on that in a couple minutes.
But it's much better than in April, where there were several days in a row, we saw less than 100,000 people go through TSA checkpoints. So we are seeing increases, 500%, but it's still not where it needs to be.
But there's so many problems with that industry that, well, first off, you got the businesses that aren't traveling. You got people that aren't going anywhere. But I helped them out big time this morning. I bought my summer vacation tickets. I'm going to Chaz.
Okay.
I hear there's some really nice tents available, cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And you got open carry. I mean, what could be finer than a summer in Chaz?
Molotov cocktails?
Well, better than no cocktails at all, isn't it? All right. I think there'll probably be more on that before the show is over, just because it's so darn funny.
It's really interesting.
What can I say? All right, we'll pay some bills, take a short break, and be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Banley Financial Hour.
As we enter into our new normal, we find some things changing, like the basic handshake. It's just not sanitary. So what will take its place? Will we begin a new tradition? The solemn sharing of our hand sanitizer? Perhaps we can begin the practice of reaching up and touching the insides of our feet together. You know, as long as we have on shoes. Maybe a throwback to the 80s and do a little bumping of hips. Whatever the new normal looks like, we'll adapt. This message by
John F. Kennedy, the guy who said that if you lower taxes, the economy will boom and we will take in more money. And he was right. But he got a little mixed up on Wall Street in 1962, and he wasn't really too nuts about the Wall Street barons and what they were doing, and they didn't particularly like that either. So in one period of time, to the two trading days that ended on May 21, 1962, saw the second largest drop in the Dow in history. How many points did it fall over those 2 days? You'll probably like this. Good morning, Al.
Hey, I got a question about a RMD that was distributed to me on February the 21st, I guess it was. And then they come out with the Stimulus Act, and it says you didn't have to take it.
You're stuck
so
with it.
So I rolled it back, did a fund transfer back to the IRA, but when it went back in, TD Ameritrade just showed it as a transfer and not as a to cancel out the previous distribution that I'd
taken. It's considered a deposit because you weren't within the 60 days. They made no provision in that law for one that had already been done. So the only fallback provision was you got the 60-day once-a-year rollover provision. And it is, since that was back in February, you said you are long past the 60 days. It is now an illegal contribution unless it is legal for you to make that contribution.
Actually, they may have given a provision to take care of it.
I had a memo or something from Ameritrade where you had until July 15th to put the money back.
That's correct. But you do have to get it, you have to get it coded right by TD Ameritrade or whoever your custodian is.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so yeah, I would call.
When did that come in? I've not even read that, much less heard it.
So in other words, it was okay for me to move it back over and not, I just need to have it coded properly, right?
That should be the case for this one, yes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Color me enlightened.
You know, it should show almost like a zero transaction if you did an RMD and then you reversed it. They should have coded it where you had a zero transaction for that year to date, right?
That's correct, yes.
TD told me last year when I tried to do something like this, and they said, unfortunately, an RMD is an irreversible process.
This is due to the Secure Act, though.
No, okay. But the Secure Act changed it and gave you to July 15th.
You know,
I put the money back.
I read the number one newsletter about this kind of thing in the country and have for, oh, gosh, 15 years or better. And he was very adamant that they had not done that yet. So I am going to spend a little time this weekend and look it up, because if there's something I don't know, shame on me.
Yeah, are you talking about Ed Slott or Kitsy? Because Kitsy's has a thing about it. You should read it.
Okay. I will do my homework, and I'm really glad you asked that question, because I don't like being caught in information that isn't current. It's not my job.
That's okay, but so, Adam, you think that it's okay to roll it back? I just need to get it coded properly.
I believe that is correct. I am going to do a little bit more research on this just to be sure. And actually, if you wouldn't mind giving your email address to Alan, I can follow up with you this week on it.
All right, okay. All right, good. I'll do that.
Great. You want to take a shot at the trivia question while you're on?
I think you were giving it out while I was dialing the phone.
In 1962, the second worst Dow Jones drop in history up to that point occurred under Kennedy. How many points did it drop in 2 days?
I'm going to take a guess. Probably, is it back in 1960, you say?
62.
I'm going to say probably 102 points.
You are a little bit high, but you are on the right track.
Okay.
I love radio show listeners. You understood exactly why I'm asking this, because the numbers are so small.
That's right. Well done. Exactly.
I'm going to put you on hold, and Alan will pick up your email address, and we'll follow up with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good question, Al. Thank you.
Wow. I have not heard that.
I don't have time to reread the article, but I read this a couple weeks ago, and I was also surprised by it because it was not something I had seen before, but I believe that he is correct that you can
I will promise you one thing. by this exact moment next week, I'm going to know everything there is about it, and so will you.
Definitely.
Well, that was a wonderful question. Thank you, Al. We really appreciate that.
We hadn't run into this situation in our practice because everyone who has taken RMDs this year, we have, and we've done this evaluation multiple times, should you continue to take them? And the answer has always been yes. And the reason is that most of them are using them to live off of, and B, tax rates are so historically low right now that you can get this money out at 10 and 12%, and therefore it doesn't make sense to return it if you need it to live off of.
The one thing I would look at, if there are people on the margin at the 12% rate, is if they've taken out too much and could back off just a little bit, or even then, if you did it right, you could wait until December. You could put it back now, wait till December, let it grow tax-free again, and then do your tax right up to the closest minute you can.
Right.
And try it again. So there's some strategies out there. If this is true, man, what a godsend for some people. But if you remember from the show about a month ago, 80% of people who take RMDs overdraw the required minimum amount because they're living off of it.
Yeah, and that's...
So we're only talking about a very small subset of people.
And when you're doing that in a historically low tax environment, it makes sense to continue to do it.
Yeah, the same thing when you turn 70 and a half and nowadays 72, and you could put off that first one till March 31st of the next year, and then you had to take two next year. Virtually every time that we calculated it for people, it proved better to just go ahead and take it this year because it prevented that big spike in their income. But for people who are retiring between now and December 31 and they're 72 or older, you might have some. It's always worth a little mathematical gizmology, and you can find out a very reasonable answer from that.
Definitely.
But as Adam said, the tax rates right now are so unbelievably conducive. When they've elongated those brackets, wow. Now, let's talk about taxes for a little bit more here. The Secure Act 2.0, what do you think they're going to do about the payroll tax, so to speak?
I don't know. I know how I feel about it. We've talked about it on the show before. With the trajectory the country is on right now, does it seem even warranted to do it anymore at the expense of Social Security? I don't think so, but I do think that I know that Trump was very much on board with it initially, but he hasn't. I mean, so much else is going on right now. It's kind of been lost in the ether. The whole conversation about anything 2.0 has not been.
Well, plus, we're creeping up
at
now
the forefront
on mid-year.
Yeah.
They were talking about this in March and April,
right,
where it might have had a few months to take. I don't think you could get everybody together to get it passed in time to do it.
It seems unlikely, and it seems less and less warranted as the country continues to get back on to somewhat normal life, I guess, if you can call it that.
But remember the Washington, D.C. ethos. We have to do something.
Well, and the other thing is once the current there's a lot of other things going on right now that once the media attention to that starts to back off, will it return to the things like the CARES Act 2.0? I don't know.
There's going to be something this year. That's the only feeling that I have that's irreversible at this point is that they will do something. Because it's an election year, and they each want to claim credit for it.
Unless something else happens that the media grabs a hold of, and that becomes the forefront, I could see it being forgotten about entirely.
It would have to be something pretty major.
Yeah, well, it's 2020. Anything's on the table.
Yeah, that's true. That wonderful year, 2020, where nobody can see clearly.
The economic data this week, I didn't quite get to.
A minute and a half or so.
It's really not much that I want to address specifically because it was all bad, but it was better than they thought it would be. So it's kind of like the golfer who shoots 120 shooting 110. Mm-hmm. Everyone looks at that and said, wow, you're still terrible, but I'm so much better than I was last week.
As we always said when your kids were in junior golf, oh, you got most improved. You must have really stung.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. How about the JOLTS dropping down from 7 million to 5 million? And they were everybody's whining and crying about that. And I look at that number and say,
there's 5 million open jobs right now? I thought the same thing. That's incredible.
What's the problem here, people?
We have 20 million unemployed people and 5 million open jobs. Why aren't we filling them?
Yeah, and you saw that it was the first beat on first-time unemployment claims in 9 weeks or something like that, where less people actually filed than they estimated. But that's not anything I care much about at all. What I care about was, did more people go back than went off the payrolls? Because that net is total employment. And you see that through the decrease in the continuing claims, which are still over 20 million, which is way too high to have a booming economy. But it's not as bad. They keep throwing out these 40 million, 42 million numbers. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the press and the way they mislead people after the break. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back and finish this up. And this is the Vanway Financial Hour.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump set to address the graduating class at the U.S. Military Academy. It all comes against a backdrop of urgent questions about the role of soldiers in civil society, especially with the president considering invoking the Insurrection Act, which would allow him to use military force if needed to stop the looting and riots going on in some cities around the country. A group of University of Texas football players and athletes are demanding changes following the death of George Floyd. The athletes say they will participate in their sports, but will not help to recruit future athletes unless the university makes a number of changes, including its fight song. Oregon Governor Kate Brown says she's putting reopening applications on hold for 7 days in her state as a result of a possible resurgence in the coronavirus. The Oregon Supreme Court on Friday upheld Brown's shutdown orders aimed at stemming the pandemic, and she's prohibiting officials from taking action for 7 days.
You can't seem to get away from the bad news. So, here's some good news for a change. Brought to you by the law offices of Kevin Cobbin, Duval's trusted car accident law firm.
Kenny grew up without a dad, which meant he had to figure out how to do a lot of basic things on his own. You know, like shaving and unclogging the toilet. He realized that there are so many other kids out there that are facing the same struggles that he faced growing up. So, he's doing something about it. He started a YouTube channel called Dad, How Do I? It's all about giving dad advice on practical things and things you would typically ask your dad about that aren't really taught in school, like how to change a tire, unclog your sink, and even how to build a shelf. He teaches all that stuff. Kenny has 2 kids of his own and is now considered a father figure to over 2 million of his YouTube subscribers since he posts videos pretty regularly. And of course, like any dad, he adds an occasional dad joke during his tutorials. Now that's good news.
Mom, somebody hit my car.
Baby, are you okay? We need to call Kevin Cobbin.
The law office of Kevin M. Cobbin is Duval's trusted car accident law firm. Call 357-8448, 357-8448, because Cobbin cares.
Dramatization, not an actual event, not attorney spokesperson.
For auto accidents and serious injuries, criminal and family law, Cobbin cares. Call the law office of Kevin M. Cobbin at 357-8448, 357-8448, or click CobbinLegal.com.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. You may have heard about diamonds certified by EGL, GIA, AGS, IGI, and wondered what that meant. It's confusing because those letters represent various diamond grading laboratories. However, it's important to point out that labs don't certify anything. What they do is issue diamond grading reports. Any certifying going on is done by the retailer. That's why at Underwoods, we have and maintain an accredited gem laboratory of the American Gem Society, so we can check these reports to see if the diamond report matches the American Gem Society diamond grading standard that we've been using for over 50 years. As a certified gemologist, I've seen thousands of different laboratory reports from labs like IGI and EGL, and sometimes they'll miss the grade by as many as 5 grades. So we only use the accurate, credible labs of AGS, GIA, and Forevermark. But Underwoods is who's doing the certifying.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
Looks like wonderful, and you?
Just fine.
Good. What's on your mind?
Yesterday,
yesterday I saw something that was, I was just very curious about it. I said, oh, that's a great question for the guys.
Great.
All right. What you got?
I'm sitting there watching, you know, the business news ticker go across the bottom. Believe me, it was a long day in the yard, so this was veg out and the lazy boy.
You were harvesting, huh?
You know, and I'm looking at, okay, so we had this big drop. And then I happen to notice multiple ETFs that were either Dow or S&P that were going in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have thought on a day where you have that much movement in one direction, why do that happen?
It's the old how the index is computed and what it's comprised of problem. So if you've got somebody out there killing it and they're big enough, you're going to see the Dows, the diamonds, things like that. You're going to see that really move up. But the S&P is showing the overall breadth of the market, which was basically down.
No, yeah. I understand the different indexes. But shouldn't all the Dows be moving in a similar direction and all the S&Ps be moving in a similar direction?
Depends.
Or are they that differently composed?
Were you looking at inverses or doubles?
Yeah.
Wait, so let's give an example, Marshall. Are you talking about, say...
I think VIX, is VIX one of the...
That's the volatility index.
Right. So that will typically be up on big down days.
Yep. Okay. If you want to make money on a big down day, get the VIX.
Well, you have to own it the night before because otherwise you won't...
And you have to get rid of it fast.
Too, yeah.
Because it'll turn on you and put a knife in your back.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, aren't the index... ETFs, I realize you got to read all the prospectus to know for sure everything.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't they supposed to be trying to duplicate the index?
That's correct. They try. They don't always get it right, but they do try.
It depends on the weighting. We've long said the Dow is cap weighted. So the index, everybody who
price,
uses
price weighted.
That price weighted, excuse me. Everybody who uses that system, it'll move together. But you can get the S&P on a cap weighted. You can get the S&P on an equal weighted. You have to be a little bit careful of what you're looking at to know exactly how they're going to react.
But if you look at the major, the big S&P 500 index, ETF, they're all going to move
SPY.
Together. Yeah, SPY, IVV, mm-hmm. it's going to be very similar. VOO is the Vanguard's. They're all going to move in tandem, more or less. I mean, there'll be some minor differences, but in general, they'll move in tandem.
But depending on what you're measuring, if you're measuring volatility or something like that, using that index, that's going to react totally different. That's
sure.
a derivative sure. of what's going on out there rather than the stocks themselves. But yes, a very good question.
Thank
very
you,
good.
Sir.
Yep. Well, always fun. Again.
And even on Thursday, there were some stocks that were up, which it didn't feel like it, but there were a few.
It's just that we didn't own them, right?
I mean, I'm sure we owned a little bit of them, but
of course,
it's not going to help on a day like that.
You want to take a shot at the trivia question, Marshall?
He's gone, actually.
Oh, he's gone? Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see. Well, no, then. It's under 102.
All right.
we know that. I briefly mentioned a little bit ago, you know, The media is playing such a role in everything that's going on, but they're not aided and abetted very much by the governments, do you think? My favorite headline this week didn't come out till this morning, and it said, lawmakers label British Airways a national disgrace over jobs. Yeah, the quizzical look on your face, same as mine. So in London, British Airways was labeled a national disgrace by lawmakers for its treatment of employees on Saturday, adding to the pressure on the airline as it struggles with job cuts and quarantine rules. So Britain's Transport Select Committee said that British Airways and its parent company were trying to take advantage of the coronavirus crisis to cut 12,000 jobs and downgrade the terms and conditions of other employees. It is unacceptable that a company would seek to drive this level of change under the cover of a pandemic, said Hugh Merriman, who chairs the committee.
Do you know what percentage of people didn't fly during that time?
Most of them.
Yeah. Business was off, what, 90%? So these companies who have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders are supposed to just plod along paying everybody and not cutting anything and then go belly up by the end of May or whatever. The degree of insanity out there sometimes just leaves me almost speechless. But the good news is, it's not just in this country. It's just as bad over the pond. Wow. Who knows? All right, when we come back, I got a couple other things I want to mention real quickly. One thing I couldn't remember if I talked about it earlier. Social Security recipients, hang on this year. You may or may not get as much as a 1% increase. In fact, you may or may not get an increase at all this year. And you know and I know that the price of food is rising very rapidly. Even in these non-inflationary times, the food prices are going up. And what is it we spend money on every day? Would that be the food bill? Okay, so here we go again. All right, we'll be right back and take care of everything. This is the Vanley Financial Hour.
There is injustice in our country.
There's injustice. It's not new.
It's not new.
We've heard about it before.
Some have just found it easier to set it aside than to deal with it.
Now is the time to deal with it.
Every person is created by God,
loved by God, and precious to God.
Every person deserves to be treated humanely and fairly.
I pledge to stand for those who are being treated unjustly.
I pledge to vote for those who stand for justice and respect for all people.
I pledge to treat all others as I wish to be treated.
We are a diverse group of people.
We don't all look the same, sound the same, or think the same.
We're all part of Jacksonville.radio, a diverse group of radio stations reaching a diverse group of listeners.
But we are one.
But we are one.
But we are one.
We are united.
We are unified. And we are strong.
And we are strong.
And we are strong.
And we are strong.
Homeowners, now is the season to be thinking about your roof, because all it takes is one storm to turn a small roof problem into a major leak. If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. You'll get reliable service and installation. And Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. So if you need a new roof, don't wait till the next storm. Call Sears Roofing for a free in-home consultation. Call 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now. 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get 6 free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. It came out and harvested my green patch yesterday, and it looks great. Man, we have had, I think we saw last night, 9 inches of rain in a 12-day period.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize. I knew it was a lot. I didn't know it was that much.
Now, add to that a little heat and humidity, and you got the happiest grass anybody's ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But anyway, I'm glad I don't do it myself. All right. How's your investment strategy holding up? This one, kind of an interesting question these days. First off, do you have one? Because if you don't, you can't really tell if it's holding up. And there's been a lot of changes. One of the topics Adam and I have been talking about a lot, both on and off the air, is whether this whole pandemic thing and the demographics of society are leading into doing a lot more work at home. Think about this. How many miles you're actually driving now compared to what you're used to? Some people are going back to their regular old thing now, but others aren't. If you have found yourself in a position where you think your change is sort of permanent, you're not driving all those miles, you should do yourself a favor. Call your car insurance company or your agent and tell them what happened and say, I think I should be paying less. And you know that they'll listen to you now? Lots and lots of people are getting their policies rewritten at dramatically lower rates because their mileage is down so much.
Our car insurance gave us a 20% rebate for the last 2 months because of the pandemic. Just mm-hmm. I didn't even ask. It just happened.
Yep. Some of them have been very aggressive about that. But I think it's a good idea. And if you haven't seen something like that happen, but your situation is different, they really do care how many miles you drive a week. And if you used to do a downtown thing and now you're at home, there's no reason for you to be laying all that money out to the car insurance company. So just a little hint that I pass along for anybody who thinks they might have been involved in this. So anyway, the whole topic that has been coming around, I guess we've been evolving to this a little bit about the way kids are working, especially young people. I think last week we talked about the lucky graduates, college graduates in particular, of 2019. They stepped out and stepped into the best job market anybody could ever imagine. The 2020 graduates had the opposite problem. So what's going to happen with them is that they're going to wind up, a lot of them, joining the gig economy, as we call it nowadays. That's the 1099 non-traditional employment, do a contract thing. And the financial advisor situation for these people needs to be talked about, thought about, and changed. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, good morning, guys. Very simple question.
Sure.
I've already done my taxes. I have not paid them yet, but I've already filed my taxes, and I have not contributed to my Roth IRA for 2019. Can I still do that without having to refile?
Did they take it to July 15th?
Yes.
This is one because there's an absolute deadline of April 15th. I assumed it was caught up in the snare to July 15th. And I don't like to stick my neck out, especially today when I've already been corrected once. I'm on a roll. So I asked Adam.
No, I think that the contribution can be made up to July 15th.
I believe you're right.
But without, and I know the Roth doesn't affect my taxable income.
No.
But I just didn't want to have to refile again in order to do that. I don't think I do. Do I?
Well, you probably should file the form with your taxes that says I did a Roth contribution, but I don't think there's any reason that you couldn't put that in afterwards.
I don't have to. I don't think it matters. I mean, technically you're probably correct, and I probably shouldn't say that on air, but I just did. So, I don't think that it doesn't affect your taxes in any way. So
no, but it does affect what part of the Roth is basis and what part is growth. And there are a couple of rather obscure things that make a difference about that. There's a way that the money comes out of there that could possibly change things for some people, but it's very obscure. But I wouldn't hesitate to go ahead and make it and file the form or not, kind of up to you. Do you do your own taxes or do you have a preparer?
Yes. TurboTax.
And see what TurboTax has to say. You can probably go back in there, pull it up, and say, should I do this?
Yeah, but the answer to your question, can you do it, is definitely yes. You have until the filing date of in July to make the contribution.
Good.
Yeah, and I'm way past 59 and a half, and it's been way, open for way longer than 5 years.
Yeah,
so when I pull it all out, it shouldn't be an issue anyway.
0.3% right up front on all of that, which they should understand from the beginning. And as soon as they get that check in, skim that money off and go throw it in a bank account and protect it, because you don't want to get caught without it. But then comes retirement. They'll be eligible for the IRA, and if they're under 59 or under 50, the amount they're going to be able to put in there is about $6,000 a year. Well, that's paltry compared to $18,000, $19,000, $20,000 on these company plans. And then you add into that the failure of getting any matching funds in it. These kids couldn't possibly know anything about doing things like personal 401ks, SEP plans, simple plans, things like that, all of which will allow you to put more away. So if they're successful in any way, shape, or form, it's very, very important for young people to get out and get involved with a qualified financial advisor, because that's the only way they're going to get from here to there worth anything. And we watched it for years with the handyman types where they worked for cash all their lives and they turn 65 and their bodies are beaten up and they have kind of outlive their useful working life, and they go into the Social Security Department and say, how much do I get? And the Social Security people look them in the eye and say, and who are you?
So what was the answer to that trivia question?
72 points it lost in 2 days, and ending March or May 21, 1962, it fell to 577. It was brutal. I remember it well. All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the calls. They were great today. We'll see you then. This is the Vanway Financial Hour, signing off.